It's time for everybody's favorite show, the Heather Nursery Gardening Corner. Now, here are those two wild and crazy gardening guys, Dwayne Hasted and Terry Overlander, ready to take your questions at 598-7301 or 598-FM92.
Well, good morning, everybody. Paul Ramel sitting in for Terry Overlander this morning on the Gardening Show. And, well, it says, Maynard says there's two crazy, wild and crazy guys. I think there's only one this morning, so, right?
Oh, there's three. There's three, Paul.
There's three crazy guys, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you get to be one of them.
Okay. Well, good morning, Dwayne. How's it going today?
It's going good. Heard there's a little rain over in Madison. I happen to be in Monty right now, and just a few sprinkles, but not a lot of rain over here.
Okay. Well, Maynard's manning the phones right now, and if you have a garden question for Dwayne, give us a call here at the radio station, 320-598-7301. That's 598-7301 with your garden question for Dwayne. And we have a couple of them already, so let's get started, Dwayne, huh?
You got a difficult one, I know, for one of them, so if you want to ask that one.
Okay, I'm not sure what the difficult one was.
Fire blight one.
Okay, yeah, someone asked about a fire blight on their apple trees. How can they fix
blight,
that?
Yeah, fire blight's a difficult one, and you're not going to solve the problem overnight. It's kind of a long-term thing. And what you need to do is, if you have fire blight, and the way you identify fire blight is that there's kind of a sooty residue on the bark of the tree, and also the end of the branches kind of is called a shepherd's hook. The end of the branches kind of curve over, and that's fire blight. And you don't want to be cutting those off right now because you'll spread the diseases and open up more cuts, and the disease will get in there. You actually, if you need to, you need to mark those branches and then cut them off when the tree is dormant, you know, like put a ribbon on them or something like that. What I suggest when I've found out is to spray your tree with a product that is called XL, and you spray that. It's a beneficial bacteria, beneficial fungi. You spray that on there, and you probably need to do that a number of times, maybe like once a month, spray it on the tree, and especially on the areas that it's that brown or that black sooty type appearance.
Okay.
It's spread when it's cool and damp out, and I guess that's what we've had. And then maybe after that, you can use a fruit tree spray or also a copper solution. But I would get that XL on there as soon as you can.
Okay. All right. Real good. Well, here's another question someone asked. This person lives in an apartment, and they wanted to know if they can plant rhubarb in a container.
Well, that's a difficult one. You sure can. I mean, you can plant it in there. The problem is, what are you going to do with it over winter? Okay? If you treat it as a house plant, I suppose you can, but it's a perennial and usually dies to the ground. And you usually harvest your rhubarb till, you know, the 4th, beginning of July, and then you stop. I think it'd be difficult. And if you have some place, I know you're in an apartment, but find the caretaker and ask if you can plant it someplace.
Okay.
It'd be a hard plant to plant in. You can, but then I don't know what you'd do with it over winter.
Okay.
Just let it go dormant, I suppose, but
you need
guarantee.
You'd need a pretty good container, too, wouldn't you?
You need a big container. It'd be hard to move in and out unless you had, a dolly or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't water it when it's dormant because it'll rot. So I think that's a difficult situation. But okay, if they want to try it, they can.
Yeah, there's a lot of rhubarb around, too, isn't
there?
There is.
There is a lot of rhubarb, and it seems to have grown really well this year. And for the last few years, there's been mildew on rhubarb, but I haven't heard of that this year at all yet. Mm. You know, there's like mildew is a white spots on the top of your leaves, and haven't heard anybody saying that this year, and it's kind of the wet year. You'd think this would be a year that would happen, but it seems like rhubarb's doing really well this year.
Yeah. Yeah, a nice lady brought a pan of rhubarb cake in for us here at the station last week. That didn't last long.
I was going to say, you still got some left?
Nope. you like rhubarb?
Rhubarb and strawberries together is a pretty great thing, I think. So.
Oh, yeah, like over ice cream or something, or what?
Just making like rhubarb pie with strawberries in it, or, mm-hmm. you know, like the rhubarb bars and stuff like that.
Oh.
The rhubarb crisp.
Oh, yeah, rhubarb crisp. Well, that is excellent, too, so.
Yeah.
You're making me hungry, Duane, here.
Yeah, and then we're talking about us guys that aren't supposed to be eating that, so.
Do you like rhubarb?
I love rhubarb, yep.
All right, here's our next question. Does anyone use rain barrels for watering anymore?
Oh, yes. Okay. That's a good way to collect your water because you're getting quality water. So I would definitely use rain barrel. I mean, if you collect water for your houseplants or even watering certain types of plants outside, you know, your containers or whatever, collecting rainwater is a great idea.
It is. Okay.
Well, because, you know, if you're using city water and stuff, it's all treated. Mm-hmm. If you're using treated water, especially on some plants, like indoor plants, you'll build up toxin in there. And so every once in a while, you should take it in the sink or the rain barrel water and drench it out so you get those toxins out of there, run the water through it. And so that the salt buildup is washed away.
Okay, there's different ways.
Rain barrel is a great thing.
Oh yeah, different ways to collect rain. I know my neighbor has it right underneath their gutter spout. Is that a good way to do that?
That's usually the way to use a rain barrel. You put it under your gutter spout, and then collect the water out of that. Or some people even have a spigot on their rain barrel and use that water. That's a good idea. You know, even using that water, like orchids absolutely don't like city water, that type of water, because it has too high a pH. And collecting rainwater is a great thing for like orchids. So
okay.
If you have orchids, make sure your quality of water is important on most plants.
Okay.
So rainwater is good.
Good. Boy, the questions are just rolling in here, Duane. So
great.
Just keep them
going.
Got
another one?
Yeah, the clover is out of control. Help. The clover is out of control. Help.
Clover, if you're going to spray it, okay, a lot of people spray with straight 2,4-D, and 2,4-D isn't strong enough to kill clover, or even Trimec, you'll kind of burn it, you know, the leaves will kind of turn brown, and then the clover will come back. What you want to use is a product called Weed Free Zone. It has one more chemical in it than Trimec, and that will kill clover and creeping charlie and those hard-to-kill weeds, so. Weed Free Zone will kill clover, creeping charlie.
Okay. All right.
The harder to kill weeds. Dandelions aren't hard to kill. 2,4-D will kill dandelions, but if you're going to kill the harder to kill weeds, you need to have something a little stronger. Right. And the way the chemicals work on like dandelions, it actually grows them to death. So you don't see a lot of dandelions turning brown. You know, don't see brown out in your lawn. And what it does, it grows it to death, and it just kind of withers away. It doesn't turn brown like a lot. If you use Roundup, they'll turn brown. Mm-hmm. But using dandelions, don't do that. And Roundup doesn't kill dandelions very well. So
okay.
2,4-D or Trimec or Weed Free Zone is good on most of your weeds.
Okay. All right, here's another question that just came in. I'm looking to plant a tree in my yard, and I'm not sure how big a tree I should plant. Can you help me out?
How big a tree? When they say how big a tree, does that like, you know, eventually mature size? I think that's what the question was.
Maybe somebody's looking for shade right away. I'm not sure.
Well, you can, if you're looking to move a big tree, you know, you can get a tree spade and they dig out the roots and move it in there. You can move a pretty big tree. Usually they say up to 7 inches in diameter. But you're cutting off a lot of roots for a lot of top, so it's imbalanced. So it'll sit there for a number of years. at Heather Nursery and Floral, we sell a lot of trees that are 8, 9, 10 feet tall, about an inch and a half in diameter. And the proportion of the roots, because we buy them from mainly Bailey Nursery in the cities, and they have a tree, they have a huge tree farm, and they undercut the trees so there's a good root system underneath the tree compared to the top of the tree. And we have all different types of trees, and most of our trees are like located over in our Montevideo store. And we have a good selection right now of all different types of maples, you know, the sugar maples, autumn blaze maples. We have lindens, locusts. I just drove by out here, and there's a sunburst honey locust. So if those people, whoever the question was, or the other people out there, if you want to come over to our Montevideo location, we'd be glad to show you a tree.
Mm-hmm. What's a fast?
And with all the moisture we've had, good time to plant the tree.
It is. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What's a fast-growing tree? Dwayne?
Well, there's advantages and disadvantages of planting a fast-growing tree, but silver maple is a fast-growing tree. You don't see many ash planted anymore, but they used to be fast-growing. We have elms again, so if you're looking for elms, that's a good tree. Autumn blaze maple is a fast-growing tree. Poplars are a tree, but that's not a very good shade tree. One of my favorite trees to plant is the variety of sugar maples. There's all different kinds of different types of sugar maples, so
okay.
It's not a fast-growing tree. Then we also have oaks if you're looking for an oak tree, too.
Okay.
A lot of different varieties, and then smaller trees, you know, we have another one of my favorite trees, if you're looking for a middle-sized height tree, is the Japanese tree lilac that has those big white flowers on.
Okay.
And that's a very pretty tree. Or flowering crabs, another nice flowering tree.
Okay. Well, we got a question here. Someone is just listening to us talk about rainwater. Is some pump water okay to use for gardening? Heard it is not due to lack of oxygen. Some pump water, is that okay to use?
Not positive on that. We've had a lot of some pump water. But if you put it out on your grass, it doesn't seem to kill the grass.
Right.
I wouldn't go and pump it all over your garden. I would try it a little bit and see how it affects your lawn. I don't know that in particular.
That's a good question.
It's a good question. I can do some research on that for next week.
Okay. Yeah, I put it in my lawn. You put it in your lawn or garden or whatever, and it seems to be okay. All right. Well, our last question. We're running out of time here. Just 2 minutes left. Is it ever a good idea to reuse potting soil?
We can reuse potting soil, but you know, sometimes you have a lot of roots and stuff in that potting soil. So I take the roots out and break up the rest of the potting soil, and then I always add more, you know, a fresh source of potting soil, and so it kind of livens it up, or even more peat moss or whatever it's lacking. And then make sure that you definitely fertilize it so you know, kind of rejuvenate that potting soil. But you can use it and just add a little bit more to it, you know, to liven it up. And
great.
Put some fertilizer in.
All right, we've got 1 minute left, Dwayne. Quick, where are you located?
Located in Madison on Main Street and Dawson on Main Street, Montevideo in the Smith Edition. You can call us for all your plant questions, and if you need flowers, or our greenhouses still have a lot of plants. I know a lot of people are still planting their gardens and flowers, and we still have a great selection left. So if you're looking for, you know, tomato plants to keep planting, you have a good selection there. And because of all the moisture, don't forget the fertilizer. Your plants need something to survive on. So,
all right. All right, real good, Dwayne. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep, great.
You have a great day. Enjoy the day today.
All right. You bet. Dwayne Hasted with our garden show for today.
This is KLQP, Madison Dawson. News and weather up next, brought to you by your good friends at Heartland Eye Care Center in Dawson, Canby, and in Marshall.